Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Yerby Monsters Radio, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Wayne Johnson. Today, we have guest author, our frequent favorite guest author, Ronald Feynman, and also our favorite David Williams out of Oklahoma, Tulsa. And today, we're talking about everything, as usual, the COVID-19 and see how we're acting, you know? So, gentlemen,
thank God we're all virus free, at least
we hope we are.
Seemingly right now, yeah. We don't want to be invisible carriers or whatever they call them, asymptomatic carriers. And I want to introduce a brand new character in my blog. It's going to appear on tomorrow's post at the Saturday Afternoon Post. It's a character known as COVID Donald. There was Typhoid Mary at the beginning of the 20th century. At the beginning now of the 21st century, we've got COVID Donald. So he's going to prey on everybody like he's already been doing the last 3 years.
And you're claiming a copyright on the name, correct?
You betcha. COVID Donald.
COVID Donald.
That's how I'm going to refer to him from now on.
Well, everybody.
You should also put in there that, we had the Black Monday. You should put that we had the Orange Thursday.
Well, that's good. Orange Thursday, yeah. That works pretty well.
I'm all for taking it to the guy. He needs to take responsibility. And if he's not going to do it, then I think everybody around him should stick it on him, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, he's going around shaking hands with everybody. He likes to take gambles, I guess.
Yeah. And he claims he was tested this past week, or at least
I don't believe
the White House press. I don't believe
it
either. I think it's bullshit. I think he's too cowardly to do it.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that they both have it, and we may have our first woman president later this year, Nancy Pelosi.
Ooh, wow, that would be incredible.
For a few months,
what a way
don't
to
we
get one, though.
What
he deserves
say,
it.
What's that?
I thought I heard you say something.
I was just mumbling. I said that'd be a real change up if Pelosi was eventually the president.
This month, but it would be still a first, you know.
it would. It absolutely would. Apparently, the state of Ohio has closed down all restaurants and bars.
Wow.
As of 9 o'clock tonight, yes.
What do you call it? They pretty well closed down. I spoke to Tricia and Abair up in New York City today earlier, and they had gone out to dinner last night to one of their local places to show them some business and stuff, and the restaurant had removed tables to keep people farther apart from one another, and it was sparsely populated. People were in there, and she told me that people are walking at least staying 6 feet away. The people who are out are staying at least 6 feet away from one another. But, you know, I was in New York when the blackout happened, the great New York blackout. Mm-hmm. And New Yorkers, in my experience during an emergency, for the most part, are good people who reach out and help each other. So I'm thinking that if New York
Absolutely.
Is like that, then the majority of people in this country are. It's just how well informed they are.
That's
you know?
Key.
It is. And this administration has been giving out very bad information. And not only that, but the over 60 viewership of Fox News has been fed a constant diet of hoax. And now they're hearing something else, which they're not they're probably wondering what it is. And so today the New York Times editorial focused in, I guess, on asking Rupert Murdoch to step in.
Yeah. Well, if I may interject here real quick, I just spoke about an hour ago with an old Navy buddy. Anyway, his sister-in-law, they're all like Fox News and boy, the president and all this.
Yeah.
Well, basically, the sister-in-law called my friend's wife, and she says that SOB, he's been lying to us. She's finally coming to the realization. This is why my friend called me. He said there may be hope for this election because these diehards are finding out he's full of crap. He said, okay, yeah, we tested the president. An hour later, he has proven to be negative. Well, number one, the incubation time and the time it takes to grow to identify the swab, if something of the coronavirus has done, takes like days. So an hour, the bullshit meter came off when they within an hour said, yep, no, he's negative.
Yeah,
she knew
good
that
point.
Was wrong. She knew that was bullshit. It
good
takes
point.
Longer than that for them to confirm or deny if you have
it.
The sad part about it is it takes a plague to get them to finally realize that Trump's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, you can't trust a thing coming out of COVID Donald's mouth. Not a thing. The guy's a complete liar.
Yeah, I listen to this and I think of 1932, the Great Depression at its worst, Herbert Hoover saying prosperity's around the corner, and he lost all but six states, 42 states to FDR, six to him. Wouldn't it be nice if we could have 42 out of 50 states vote against Donald? Oh, wow.
Yeah. It may very well happen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I think he's tanked. I do. But what is also tanking is not just this country. I got to tell you guys, I don't know if you've seen him. I know that Ron and Wayne and David and I are on Facebook and other social medias. But in Italy, there's been some videos that have come out. I grew up as a Roman Catholic. I went to church. I can remember as a child the Mass was still said in Latin. And I'm used to some Georgian chanting. And it always kind of charms me to hear it.
Yeah.
Basically, they were singing from building to building.
That was wonderful.
And it brought me to tears, guys. It brought me to tears. I just, people are good. God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
People are good. And they're reaching out to one another. Of course, Denmark closed its borders, and you can't help but say rightfully so.
Right.
And that stupid son of a bitch stood before the podium the other day, or at the desk, I'm sorry, at the desk he does not belong at, and said that we were, all except England, we were cutting off, travel.
European Union.
Yeah, the European Union. And then, of course, his guys had to get back on and say, well, wait a minute, that wasn't exactly what he meant. And, it's just so incompetent.
Inept.
You can't watch too much news or you're going to blow your brain,
Pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I think there are probably people committing suicide with what's going on, sadly to say,
Could very well be. Yeah, that's a good point. Sad.
How is it going with you? Wayne's got a call back in. Somehow he got dropped. David, how's it going in Oklahoma? How are people responding with all of this?
I think... it's a pretty conservative state here in Oakstan, a lot of Trumpers, and I think when he had the Oval Office press conference and he declared a state of national emergency, I think a lot of the Trumpers sort of had a moment of clarity there, and once that occurred, all the big box stores and everything suddenly got hit. And you were seeing all these people just, buying truckloads of whatever.
Yeah. Toilet paper and whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's where the stores are you can't find anything. especially paper goods, all that stuff is the empty shelves, you know, the Walmarts and all that.
Wow.
But,
same down here.
You're talking about toilet paper. There's that Donald Trump toilet paper that you can get, I think, on eBay.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a boatload of that stuff.
I need to return that U-Haul that I rented that's full of TP, so I'll have to return that tomorrow. So, no.
There you go. Laughter, my friend, laughter is the very best medicine, no matter what goes down.
Yeah, have to laugh, otherwise you can't survive these days, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. You do.
Come what may, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to know you, to have known you all so very long, too, those of us that have hung so long together. I mean, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but you know what? Come what may, I think that every one of us will stand in whatever the proper stance is for the best of themselves, their family, and their community right now. And that's something we need to really focus on. What's the smart thing to do right now? The smart thing to do is stay home. The smart thing to do is
I teach classes, but they've been canceled to go to the campus. I'm typing notes and sending it to students, so I'm going to be home all the time now.
But, you know, the sad thing is, and this is a reality factor too, our economy cannot survive too long if people just stay home and don't interact and don't go out and buy things or interact in the marketplace.
How about the hourly workers like waiters and everybody else and retail people? They're going to all be on the streets.
That's right. That's terrible.
Well, that's the catch. Need income. There is to keep the economy going, people have to go out and work. But to keep the plague away, people have to stay home. So
it's a conundrum. It's a real mess.
Yeah, it is.
I wanted to mention, watching this press conference just a few minutes ago, all that Trump talks about is the damn stock market and about the Federal Reserve lowering the rate. But he's not taking it seriously. But even though I don't like Mike Pence, I can see on his face he's really seriously worried and concerned. I think he gets it, but of course he's got to deal with Trump. But I think he's at least living in the real world, and I think he can see it on his face. But Trump is like living in fairyland. He really is.
Well, listen, gentlemen, let me get this thing in here on capital markets here in this country. The central bankers are going to have to keep the money taps on. The coronavirus has become a corporate credit run already. Look at what they're doing in D.C. and what these Republicans are trying to push through. Now, I am a little business, but I am going to be going to apply for help when I need it. But do you think I'll get it? But do you know who will
probably
get
not.
It? This is like Obama capitulating to the banks, the backseating Betsy Warren, and capitulating the Wall Street and the bankers after he calmed everything down in 2008. And another thing, this is happening right before election. I smell something else going down here. There is something being taken advantage of here, and it's.
You definitely want to be careful. Yes.
I'm like, wow. I haven't snuffed it out.
Oh,
so
somebody's going to profit off it. You can bet your booties on that.
Well, the Treasury Secretary already is saying, Mnuchin, this is an opportunity. You know, everything is economics to these people. It's all they care about is profit, profit, profit.
Well, they're greedy. They're greedy pigs.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, the Dodd-Frank bill, basically, and David, back me up on this if you can. The Dodd-Frank bill provided for this, and Betsy Warren put in more provisions. And what it was that, you know, the banks could not walk all over and they had to be open, but with certain standards. So that got switched around after things calmed down and the banks didn't have to pay a goddamn cent back. But now we got the same thing, almost the same thing up in bills that are waiting for that SOB from Kentucky to put on to the floor.
Mitch McConnell,
McGrath,
he's not
McGrath
this weekend.
Rescue
yeah.
us from McConnell.
Yeah.
Well,
you do know that the Fed just cut the rates to zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
technically 0.025, I think it is, is where they showed it on the screen. It's basically zero, yes.
Well, Dodd-Frank,
that's not good for anybody's economy.
Dodd-Frank and Basel III regulations that followed in the wake of that subprime crisis, that's what they call it, were designed to mitigate the risk. Banks were required to hold larger quantities of high-quality assets, and yes, I'm reading for, paraphrasing here, and were made to do less trading and more traditional lending, and that worked up to a point. The virus-induced break on consumer activity and labor markets, which have in turn triggered a corporate credit run, is what caused the market panic this time rather than risky trading on the part of global banks. So it's different, but it's still the corporations grabbing the money, the big money taking the money. Am I wrong, David?
That's sort of essentially it. What it was is, Wall Street is driven by fear and paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
They're sort of fear and greed. The economy is going to crash, so they're trying to get into other different methods of
investment. Well, if I may interject here, and I'll pass this on to many, I use John Nash's game theorem in a lot of situations. And it was around Thanksgiving time. It was very obvious to me that the P.E. ratios were totally skewed off. The price was way too high for the earnings returned on the stock. Plus two, the buybacks, the big tax breaks that they gave the corporations in the first couple of years, they were just buying back their own stocks, i.e., not many, supply and demand. If I buy up all the stocks and I'm holding them, then that's driving it up. CEOs and CFOs get bonuses on how much that stock has increased under their tenure. It was very evident to me. I called up my stockbroker. I have both a 401k, which I had collected for several years, plus Roth IRA. The 401k, I called her and I told her, said, pull it out of the stock market, put it in a high-yielding FDIC-insured savings account. They're going to destroy this economy in the first quarter. Whether it's coronavirus or whatever, they found a gay purple camel in the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. Something was going to happen to trigger this big crash in the stock market in the first quarter. Now, my Roth IRA, I'm in 50% bonds, 50% in stocks. So usually it's traditionally when stocks drop, bonds rises. So it kind of teeter-totters. But also, too, the only one I'm contributing to at this point in time in my life is Roth IRA. So I'm buying the hell of it right now that it's been crashed, because it will come back up. I have years to invest in that. My 401k, I did not have the years to recoup any kind of losses that they had.
Well, in 86, the banks were going through the tumbling, and I had my mother's power of attorney, and I got called by the bank, and they said, Gwen, something's coming down, and it's coming down fast, and we want you to know not to panic, to stand pat. It'll be all right, but your monthly income is going to drop for however long it goes. Well, I made the choice at that time because my mother was very ill. I said, the fuck it is, you pull out a principal. I don't care. I am the eventual, she's just executor. I am the estate. You pull out a principal. So they did. And we did lose some, but not hugely, but we did lose. And that did come back up. But I smell something different because we have a very serious global shutdown of industry. And David, I'm reaching to you because you have a lot of different informational outlets that you pull from. I know as a green person that Mama Earth is breathing freer right now because just look at the pictures of China right now from the stats. The air is clearing up significantly. Industry is ramped down. and the pollution is not going out the way it was at all. It's been drastically cut. How much more drastic is it going to get? And but as far as economy and people surviving this, what's going to really happen here?
Well, it's obvious that the economy is going to tank. China is starting to come back a little bit, but you know, there's a lot of stories out that China is sort of coming back, but I have my suspicions that's not quite there. Our economy is going to tank. I mean, it's no other way out of it, because you know, everything that we've have a service-based economy, and you know, when you can't get out and you know, do the services and all this other stuff, it's going to tank. And the stock market's following that. You know, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but it'll probably drop another couple thousand points next week.
You're absolutely right, because you know what bubonic plague did for Europe? It created the paid worker. Everyone before that practically were serfs, or engaged to the nobles for their, you know, little farms and everything, a percentage. When bubonic plague hit and everybody was dead, they had to pay for people to do jobs. And that's where the paid worker in Europe came from, out of that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, one thing that worries me is we're in this terrible economic crisis. And also with the disease. But I'm thinking North Korea is doing nuclear testing, and I'm thinking from their evil side, they could think, wow, this is the moment to attack Seattle or Los Angeles with a missile when we're down already. This could be worse than
9/11.
I'm not going there. I'm just saying it's a theoretical possibility. I'm just saying, yeah.
Well,
it's theoretically possible. We could blow ourselves up.
Yeah.
It's
sorry to be given a bad thought, but it's just a worry about it.
No, it's a possibility, but I'm not going there. I'm thinking that the people who are, especially these little entrepreneurial companies online and stuff, I mean, I got a couple of sales today. I know other people have gotten a few sales, but I already had one shop cancel on me, an order they had put in. I'm seeing it already as just a little guy, so I can't imagine what's going on higher levels.
I work at it's a lot of engineers and stuff, and you know, they've actually been pretty good about it, and I think they're going to let us start working from home, people that can. But there is a basic economy that cannot do that. You know, the people that pick up their trash and the people that run the water plants and so on and so on. Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to keep on going, and you know, I feel sorry for them. Heart goes out to them, but
I too, you know, working in with a large engineering firm, designing the electrical infrastructure grid for several of the large utilities like Baltimore Gas and Electric and Southern Maryland Co-op and Pepco and things like that. And they told us it was either Thursday or Friday that, you know, basically, you know, you could work from home. And the company that I was with before out there in Columbus, American Electrical Power, AEP, they told everybody that they could work from home all the way up to like April the 6th.
That's when it starts, or that's how long it's going to last?
No, that's how long that they will allow them to work from home.
Well, see,
starting now. They don't get to work tomorrow, and they don't have to come back until after April the 6th.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, working from home.
What they're doing is it's what they call flattening out the spike. And, you know, it's going to be where a lot of people are going to get infected. But what they're trying to do now, their past containment, what they're trying to do is flattening out the exponential spike so that the infrastructure of healthcare is not overwhelmed.
Right.
Yeah,
well, that's a very good point. Right. Well, look, it's all been about preventive medicine. You know, it's a whole lot cheaper to prevent the medicine, or to prevent, say, the cancer, than it is to cure the cancer. And, you know, of course, that was an extreme aspect. But, yes, if you can keep people, can, you know, so they don't contact and get the coronavirus, then they won't have to go through all the exponential costs of going
through
the cures.
Don't get me wrong on that. It's not preventing people from not getting infected.
Yes. Right.
The payment is gone. What's happening is they're trying to make it so people are spread out when they get infected so that the spike is no longer, you know, this huge spike and it goes back down. The spike is spread out over a larger area.
Oh, so you don't have a New Rochelle area, a concentration like at New Rochelle is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. I mean, people that are staying home from work for 3 weeks, they're suddenly not going to be immune to being infected. It's just spreading it out over a larger amount of time.
Yeah, I get that. I get that, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be probably, I mean, from what I'm reading, probably 50 to 60% of the U.S. population is going to get infected.
Wow.
They're not all going to die. They're just going to get infected.
No.
Right.
No, it's those that are, you know, the geriatric. Actually, the young kids have got the best chance of, you know, having the less effects on it. It's the geriatric, those that have compromised immune systems, things like that. Those are the ones that are really going to suffer.
Right.
I got to say that down here in Delray Beach, Atlantic Avenue, some people are saying people are really partying up this weekend, young people, and I'm thinking this is not the time to be partying up in bars and restaurants, and yet they're doing it, so they're acting as if, I guess, they can't be harmed. It's very dangerous.
Well, that goes to the next question that I have for you guys, and that is you've seen what the states are taking action themselves and telling the federal government to go F themselves, which I applaud heartily.
Good.
But this is, we're in an election year. There's politics at stake. We know this piece of crap that is sitting in the Oval Office has got nothing but politics on his mind and whatever it'll do to his income. And I'm thinking this is a time when we could get really stuck with things like martial law and the postponement of general elections and such. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, guys.
I don't think so.
I am very worried about that. I've said that for a while already, that it could be reality. Yes.
I would think the armed forces would move in and prevent that from happening. They wouldn't stand by and let the country's freedoms be completely destroyed by a COVID Donald. You know, I don't think that'll happen.
I tend to think that there will be somewhat of a limited action as far as maybe interstate travel or something like that.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
might prove to be healthy. We don't know. We're in a great unknown phase.
Yeah, what happens in the next 8 weeks is going to be a lot of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, countries that only have a 0.1% fatality rate, but there are some countries like Iran that are way up there.
Oh, yeah, poor.
Italy, very high up. Italy.
Oh, Italy.
Yeah,
good
exactly,
God.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons that Iran is up this way is because they're lacking a lot of the medical tools and some of the medical needs that they would have in Iraq, too, because of embargoes and because of the wars that have gone over there. So thank you, America. I mean,
there we go.
Thank you, America. It's this. You know what this is, gentlemen? I think this is the fall of patriarchy. Is what I think it is. I really, the people. You think when people can't, as David described it, sorrowfully, when people don't have an income and somebody's knocking on their door telling them and their children to get out of the apartment, and when there's no food to be bought or bartered, or this is a very real possibility, you think that we aren't going to have Madame Defarge with her knitting needles coming out the back door? Me and Peggy got ours ready.
I tend to think that's rather impractical. I think instead what we'll have is massive warfare breaking out all over the place. That seems to be humanity's scourge, is when they're faced with something really horrible, either they unite or they completely disassemble into absolute...
Yeah, there'll be a feeding frenzy of, survival.
Feeding frenzy, good point.
Gentlemen, you're talking...
Harsh fact to go out there, and a lot of people are talking about Italy, and look how bad they are and all this other stuff. Our country only has 2.8 hospital beds per 1,000 people.
Right.
And that's fewer than Italy. They have 3.2 beds per 1,000. China has 4.3, and South Korea has 12.
Yeah.
So if you look at Italy, you're looking at us.
Right.
And yet we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world.
Well, that's up for debate in the moment on a global basis, Ron.
What Trump tells us.
And here's the other thing, too. This is a country already at war with itself going into this. We are divided.
Oh, absolutely.
We are, yeah.
And if it wasn't like that, I would say we will be like Italians. We will, and I think the majority of Americans will bond together. But you are going to have groups, and when it gets down to there's nothing there, and this father wants his child to eat, you follow where I'm going, and it's
that rest. Sure. My child doesn't starve. That's what we can get down to. Yeah.
We have
45,000
in the United States, and just a moderate outbreak, a very moderate outbreak, will require 200,000 beds. So that leaves 160,000 ICU beds that are not there. So what are they going to do with those people?
Yeah.
Think about it.
They're taking
all the ICU beds from what normally happens, like emergencies and car wrecks and all this other stuff. So, again, I say, whenever you say, look how bad Italy has it, that is us. That's going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, let me give just throw a little example here. Back in the Cabbage Patch doll phase, people were actually, killing and beating and, stabbing each other for the last Cabbage Patch doll right before Christmas.
That's right.
You can tell we are Christians by our love. Unless I want that last Cabbage Patch doll.
Right.
Jack, I really don't think it's going to be massive war because everybody's going to be affected, including Russia.
It'll be every person for himself, and that's not healthy when people don't cooperate together to find peaceful solutions. It'll be pitched warfare. It'll be an absolute mess,
and I don't like it. It won't be against countries, though. It'll be their government. Mm-hmm. And this is the fall of patriots.
Yeah. I don't see it that way, Glenn, at all. I don't see it even a little bit that way. I don't think it's a gender-based issue at all.
I'm not talking about
plenty of blame to be put on patriarchal societies.
I am not talking about man or woman. I am talking about patriarchal governorship of all of these governing bodies in all of these countries.
Well, the whole world isn't going to turn to women leaders just because of a pandemic. I don't see that happening
Not all. You're missing my point here. Not all patriarchs are men, and not all matriarchal people are women.
Well, then define it better.
Well, I thought the word itself was sufficient, but what I'm saying is that the war-based, resource-gouging, profiteering lifestyle is dying right now on the cross.
Good, let it die quickly.
It's going to get yanked off the good wood. It doesn't work. And survival is in a more mothering or a more nurturing the community to survive and for the planet to survive, governance. Because without it, and things happen as they do. I mean, this is David, am I being way out of line here? Have I gone off an edge?
No. I think you're speaking from the heart, and some of that is certainly going to have fruition, but some of it is, I think, a little bit more wishing how it would be as opposed to the reality of how it's going to play out.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to get tribal, isn't it?
No, actually, I don't think it is. I don't think there's going to be chaos of people shooting other people for food and stuff like that.
Let's hope
not. It all comes down to the health care infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that's going to be the shortage. It's going to be the ICU beds. It's going to be the ventilators. And it's going to be that. And when that happens, when we run out, it goes to triage. And doctors and nurses are going to make decisions on, well, this person's 60 years old and they have, a heart, whatever.
Yeah.
You can't treat him. He gets pushed to the side.
Don't say 60.
We won't have the luxury of
the better money. The better the money invested. I get that.
Yeah. But as far as, not being able to get food to, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the grocery stores and everything are going to be. Yeah.
Well, they're short of goods right now, and Publix here. In Florida.
Well, that's how people are doing runs on TP and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
either
true.
Buying
Thank
obscene
you.
Amounts of, take my U-Haul truck. It probably has 40,000 TP rolls, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Open market on the corner. You heard of the Lemon Inn stand. Thank you, David. I needed to be pulled back.
Willing to bet that eBay and Amazon have plenty of Trump. Wait, get Truman. Trump, a toilet paper. It'll be a big seller, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we
sorry, President Truman, because Truman and Trump similar the first four letters, so I confused it for a minute. I think Truman would really punch Trump out, by the way, if he would not tolerate the way he's acting as president.
Oh, absolutely not.
Hey, Glenn, I think it's a good
you
got
to admit that,
with,
Mother Nature has a sense of humor of having Trump have to deal with a Chinese virus that's named after a Mexican beer.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Glenn.
I mean, there's a little bit of irony in that.
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, share with, I think, the listeners, too. I think now is a good time, how Putin right now is bragging, with his manipulation of, getting Trump and the Mitch McConnell paying just a few million dollars instead of hundreds of millions in military wear, has basically brought the United States down to no longer a world power.
Well, yeah, yes, he has said that. That's been reported in European news, I know. But, people like to brag and swagger.
There's a whole lot of truth in what he's done because Trump has pulled us out of NATO. He started infighting and eliminating support to NATO, which is the biggest containment of any kind of Soviet threat to Western Europe. And he got him to pull out of Saudi. Got him to pull out of Syria.
There's only one solution to this. And every one of us knows what it is. It's called election. If we can trust election any longer.
Here, here.
Mm-hmm.
Here, here. Well, we still got to contain Russian interference in these elections, too. And the Republicans
basically
voting rolls.
I think there's validity in that, too. But if something like this doesn't cause a huge tipping of the scales that can't be covered up. I don't know what would be, because then I'm like, I'm no longer Bodhisattva. I'm into the great collective, because it seems extraordinary that I don't know. I go to David. David, you keep an eye on this stuff, and you're pretty good at measuring from the left side of the room. I get a little overboard, sometimes. But do you think that the cheating and the interference could sway an election that's coming up after all of this?
Yeah,
I guess either way, but the thing to realize is this COVID-19 is going to force us to come together in the neighborhood, in the local communities.
Right.
The virus doesn't care who's elected as president.
That's true.
That's right.
If you expect to get something that's going to save us from the virus from Washington, you know, all they know about is tax breaks and all this stuff, and it's not going to do diddly squat if you get infected. So it's got to be the individual and all these individuals coming together to form these
co-op
tight groups that keep this away and defeat it. It's not going to be Trump that defeats this. It's not going to be the next president that defeats it. It's going to be us.
You got a point, David. You got a point. So I would expect to hear the same thing out of Jack.
Oh yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, no doubt about it. And it does boil down to every one of us individually and communally in both ways. We just have got to come to grips with this thing. We've got to defeat it the best way we can, using science and whatever else will aid us help us do that. And we can't just deny science anymore. We can't just take a flippant attitude toward science the way Trump does. And COVID Donald is going to be the death of this country if we allow him to win another term. So I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah.
And I think most people won't allow it either.
Yeah, the one thing that can come out of Washington is increasing the number of tests.
Right.
Yes.
Should be 100,000 a day,
yep.
At least.
Yeah.
Probably towards the quarter of a million, because you can't have science without data. And
right.
The only way you get data is you test people. And
if tiny South Korea can administer as many tests per day as they're doing right now, we can certainly do it. We got to get off our dead asses and do it, period.
Well, you've got to remember, World Health Organization actually provided them with a lot of testing. And But Trump, he refused it. And
oh yeah, there you go. That's why he's got to go.
And basically, I'm hearing mixed reports on from CNN to MSNBC to Democracy Now. I'm checking all my favorite joints out, and they're like not sure how many of these test kits are really working.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm a little worried about that. I mean, why can't we just be getting the test kits or reproducing the test kits of the World Health Organization? What's the fence there?
Well, the best ones on the market come from Germany. I forget the name of the firm. There's branches of that firm here in the U.S. too. But they're overwhelmed with demand for this stuff.
Of course.
So it's a matter of meeting supply, meeting demand with the supply that you have, which is inadequate right now.
Do they have testing
going
on?
Well, if you want to hear something else that just shows you how scummy Trump is, last week he offered a German company, CureVac, to buy the company because they were working on the vaccine. But so he sent the head of that company over, and they met last week. And after that, the guy resigned. But Trump wanted to buy the company with his words, large sums of money. But he wanted U.S. exclusivity. It means only the U.S. the vaccine.
What an absolute jerk!
So the guy quit.
That's on par with the biggest war crime of all time. That is it's a health crime.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're based in Frankfurt. It's called CureVac.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He took Simon Legree and Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, put them together, and then made this big caricature of this character, and that's Trump.
That's Trump. He's the worst of all time.
Beyond unbelievable. He's like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, this is so, you know, after World War II, they had the Nuremberg trials. And there are a lot of people who would say that there was a lot of put up going on there, especially by the Americans and the Russians, because we were purloining the scientists to our countries. I mean, how do you think we got to the freaking moon? Everybody knows
this
now.
Yeah,
this is not fiction or conspiracy. Yeah, we are basically, you know, and we can also thank the Vatican for a lot of that too.
Yeah,
they were a big part of it.
Paperclip, by the way.
Yeah.
They didn't want it falling into communist hands. All that nonsense. Yeah.
Well, that was the excuse. You think that this is the world's largest real estate holder is sitting the Holy See. So, you know, this kind of profiteering and resource gouging and all of this, it really has to be revealed. And I guess this is the way it's being done. I mean, basically, I had no idea about that, David. None.
Yeah.
I'm not reading all the articles getting posted, I guess. I that stuns me. Well, it doesn't stun me, but it stuns me that it got out.
Well, now the German health ministry is counteroffering, trying to get them to stay in the country, you know.
Oh, my God.
But,
God help us.
Yeah, I mean, you think that, okay, let them develop the vaccine and make it accessible to the world, but that's not the world we live in.
Oh, I just want to sit down and cry, gentlemen.
You know, how does Trump manage to stay alive? You know, usually guys get knocked off when they're that way out of line the way he's been. This is,
who
I'm
can
not
say
advocating
that he's not
it, of course.
Have a threat. I think it's
amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, the Doles brothers aren't around anymore, man.
Yeah.
All you need is one rogue Secret Service agent who decides to give up his life and take him out. I could see it.
Well, I'm not advocating it, but it just amazes
I'm not either,
me
but
that
I'm
this
saying
son of a bitch can still be alive.
It's actually against the law to advocate.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what, boys. I'll tell you what.
By the way, some good news. Gingrich and his wife, who's the ambassador to the Vatican, are stuck in Italy, and he's complaining about it and writing about it. New Gingrich is in Italy. I hope he stays there.
Yeah, I hope he does, too. Throw him in the Adriatic Sea.
He is the true person who started the real division in the mid-90s when he was Speaker of the House. That's when he really is, it goes back to that's when the real split that's become now has started. It's 25 years ago. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely disgusting.
He's a villain if there ever was one.
Big time.
Hey, I pulled up a quote from the Social Democrat, Karl Lauterbach. He says, the American regime has committed an extremely unfriendly act. I said the health workers on the front lines, as well as the people around the world, needed to have access to something developed in Germany, and that no country should be able to purchase exclusive access to the vaccine.
Yep.
Capitalism has limits.
Yes.
That was his
question. Yes.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly.
I go back to the Nuremberg trial. You know, there should be, after this, hopefully, you know, I'll still be swinging. And I will be on whoever side it is in whatever government there is to bring the people who did what they are doing now to heal everybody on something like that. Because to me, I mean, for Trump to have done such a thing is tantamount to a war crime. You
Absolutely.
I think he is a war criminal anyway in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. Prosecute COVID Donald, and let's do it immediately. Let's begin.
And also his family members, particularly Jared Kushner.
Oh, all of those pukes.
Well, yeah, I say you take 10 of the worst, you get a guillotine, and you put it on HBO. And then I think all the other politicians, they have a lot of second thoughts about their actions after that.
Yeah.
I'd pay money for it.
I'd sell my guild to see that go on. I mean, you know.
It reminds me of the French Revolution. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good, Professor. Very good. Let them eat Twinkie.
Well, one thing is clear. I don't have to mention my age because I came up with that without having heard. I just thought of it seconds before. I guess
yeah,
I can run for
president. You're in good shape.
Yep.
You're in just Ron, yeah. stay home, man. Stay home.
Yep.
You gotta stay home, buddy. I'm staying home.
Yeah, I'm busy typing notes for students. It's not bad. It's just I'm a little bit bored. But, you know, I like communication with people in person. But, yes, stay home is the answer, yes.
David sent me a bunch of these extraordinary gloves to work with a long time ago, and I've kept them sealed up in an old canister.
Those are chemically ready, so...
Yeah, so I'm using those gloves, and I have pharmaceutical grade alcohol. Every bottle I work with gets wiped down. It's taken me longer to get stuff out just because that's what I'm doing. I will not take chances. I can't. Nobody can.
I wash my hands before I pee. I wash my hands after I pee, and I use hand sanitizer while I'm peeing.
Wow.
No, yeah, I'm not buying that. I ain't trying to sell it, but I'm not buying it.
It burns.
Yeah, I tell you, Bob, he came back because in and out of horse pistol too much, but he came back with a bunch of pharmaceutical sanitizer bottles. So we've got them around here. We had one that was half full, and he poured high grade alcohol, rubbing alcohol into it, and shook it up.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's using.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to make your own sanitizer.
It is. I'm making. I don't know if you gentlemen are aware of the Four Thieves oil that's famous in my neck of the woods. I make a blend of it myself. I've used the original recipe, plus I augmented with Hildegard Bingen, the Benedictine abbess, who was the polymath from the 1100s. And I have been using that to do deep breaths with on Kleenex because that's what the guys used in Marseille, the thieves who were able to survive bubonic plague. And I don't see it as a cure-all or anything. It's a remedy, and it's a good one. But they survived by just putting they were perfumers. And there was no business. And so they went about robbing the dead and getting into these wealthy homes because nobody would touch the bodies. So they basically came up with this and made beak masks, you know, to stuff herbs and cloths soaked in these essential oils. And they would breed those and go and rob the wealthy. And they were getting rich doing it. But I'll bet you $20. They got caught because they smelled so good from those essential oils.
They smelled too pretty to be men.
And so when they came before the judge, the punishment for robbing the dead and looting at the time was being burned alive, which a lot of broads cannot deal with. And they came before the judge. And so these guys levied their medical brilliance with essential oils to the judge saying, don't burn us to death and we will teach your doctors how to work the way we did. So the judge agreed and they taught the doctors and they came back before the judge and the judge said, no, I will not burn you to death. The next day hung them in the village patriarch.
Mm-hmm.
Resource scouting. I mean, and that, you know, those beak masks that they developed that are so famous and gothic and stuff, that is where the term quack comes from for doctors. Did you know that?
Really?
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, because they look like, well, I can see more of a pelican beak. I mean, a crow beak, but not a duck's beak.
Well, but they call them Yeah, but they, because the they use ducks for everything in those days, and the term beak has always been used forever for people with a big nose or whatever.
Sure.
And so that's where they came. That is exactly where the term quacks came from for doctors.
Oh, that's true. Well, I do know that. Quarantine, if we know this, the Black Plague, of course, Venice being a shipping port, was really devastated by it. And the Italian word for 40 is quattro or something like that, quarto, which if a ship came in, it had to stay out in port, out in the water, instead of being coming ashore for 40 days. And then it was allowed to come in. That way, you know, they can make, that's how they control their Black Plague, and that's where quarantine comes from, is the period of 40 days that they have to sit out in the bay before coming into port.
What if we had 50 days? Would it be quinitine?
Sure, let's go there.
I don't know how long it takes, but they did figure out, I found out night before last, that they do know where this coronavirus came out of. It came out of bats blood.
Bats, that's right. Yep.
It came out of what?
Yeah. Bats.
Bat blood. And
bats.
Bat.
Guana.
Yeah,
bat blood. Bat blood got into the open air markets in China. That's where this. Right, because they butcher the animals and stuff right there in those marketplaces. You know, I don't know who's eating bat, but, you know.
I wouldn't know either. So.
Richard Engel on MSNBC did a pretty fabulous piece that aired on Saturday or Friday late. Or
he's
whatever.
Amazing. He's so gutsy and
great
courageous.
Great documentary.
All the difficult war areas he goes into all the time.
Yeah,
he's what Anderson Cooper used to be before he became a weenie behind the desk.
Well, he's a middle-aged man now.
He's still capable. But here's the thing. We're coming on the end of the hour. I know I put an extra 15 in there, but I wanted to let you guys know, because I know sometimes Jack has something he has to do at 6. This is also tonight. There is the Biden-Bernie
Sanders debate.
1 hour and 3 minutes from now, yes. And this is a night, even if not for Joe Biden, he's leading. And if he messes up tonight, oh, my God, is there trouble? Because he's got more delegates and probably will win on Tuesday in Florida and also Illinois, Ohio, and Arizona. So I think we have to hope, because he might be running against Trump, that he does well tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Bernie does very well tonight myself. I happen to support Bernie.
I wish them both luck. I want to see them both do well. But you know, let the best man win.
Yep.
Let Trump go down.
Donald one-term president.
My friend, the best man has not been the one who has won every time.
I know
that happens.
I agree with you.
Way too often.
Maybe she'll be vice president, or definitely in the cabinet.
Well, I will give you a
have two 78-year-olds being president and vice president. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, that's not good, no.
They would have 80-year-old Nancy Pelosi next. Oh, my gosh. And then Chuck Grassley, who's 85, the president pro tempore. Oh, my gosh.
There's something wrong. Well, and it takes out the senior, huh? David, are you going to be watching the debate?
No.
No.
No, I'm doing some engineering stuff at home. So I'll probably watch, I'll find an old X-Files or something.
Yeah, the highlights.
Highlights from YouTube.
I do wonder how they're going to go about this, whether or not they're going to go after each other or they're going to go to working towards talking to the country.
I think unity and attacking Trump. I hope they really should not go to each other. Yeah.
That would be the positive. That would be the best thing for this country if they did exactly that, Professor. I agree.
Exactly right. Yep.
Gentlemen, I really thank you for joining me this evening and bringing
always a pleasure, Gwen.
Up.
Thank you for having us.
Always great show.
Always a great time. Yes.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. I basically want to remind everybody that, stay in as much as you can wash your hands. And you know what? One of the greatest, because I've done it in helping out with the animals that get coated, Dawn dishwashing detergent.
Yeah.
If you can get your hands on that stuff, it is fabulous because this virus, it lives in the fat. So if you can get the Dawn, so if you can,
that would make sense.
If you can get Dawn dishwashing liquid, that's helpful. But just soap and water is just amazing stuff,
Well, one thing's for sure, everybody, we've got to keep pushing forward, and we absolutely must defeat COVID Donald this November.
Very good. Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And have a
night, everyone.
Week.
Yes.
And stay healthy. We'll talk next week. Let's hope.
We will, even if I have to croak.
Thanks again, everybody.
Yep. All the best to everybody.
Yes, please stay safe, everybody, especially in Boca and Tulsa and in Minneapolis. You guys, I see Wayne is already gone, but, Annapolis. Thank you for being with us, and this has been, the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio, and we'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Please stay safe, and please vote. Okay, that's our show. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.